Chapter 7. "Come on, Naomi," I whispered, as I gently shook the witch on her left shoulder. "We need to get going if we want to catch Dr. Hansen before his morning classes."
"Doctor who?"
Naomi asked as she rubbed her eyes and stood to her feet. "No," I teased in my best dad voice. "That's the famous BBC show, Dr. Hansen, Janine's mentor in para-archaeology."
"Ugh, that guy."
The witch smacked her lips as she groggily looked around.
"Why are we going to see him? Isn't he a tool?"
"I wouldn't go that far. He's just kind of rigid and eccentric. And he's definitely suspicious of me, which is why we only go to him as a last resort. But I don't think he quite knows I'm a werepanther yet."
"And he knows how to read the language of the Ancient Ones,"
Naomi continued. "According to Janine, he certainly does." I nodded. "Now come on, let's get out of here before we miss him." Naomi and I walked over to the doorway with the rubble on the other side, and then proceeded to slowly climb up the small hill and then through the opening at the top. We disturbed a few small rocks as we moved, which tumbled down and fell against the floor with an echoing clang. As we descended and began to head toward the entrance, however, I heard a voice in my head.
"Are you still down there, Animal Man?"
the voice of the squirrel from earlier asked, and I heard him chittering at the edge of the hole we entered from. "Yeah, we are. We were just about to head back up to the surface. What's up?"
"Yeah, I wouldn't do that,"
the squirrel warned.
"And that strange, genital-touching human has been pacing around up here for a while now."
"Weird Greg?" I asked aloud. "What's he doing up there?"
"Oh, I don't know,"
the squirrel admitted.
"He keeps walking around and putting his ear against the ground like he's listening for something."
"Oh, shit," I grumbled as I turned to Naomi. "Maybe we weren't as quiet as I thought. The groundskeeper's apparently up there, walking around the old mausoleum spot, and he acts like he's listening for something."
"Maybe he's just finally lost it. Like, completely lost it. For all we know, he might be trying to listen to the ultrasonic auras of the concrete or something."
"Our spy claims he's been at this for a while now. I think he may have some indication we're down here."
"Ugh."
Naomi rolled her dark eyes and placed her arms across her busty chest.
"We don't have time for this. Do you want me to march up there and tell him to fuck off?"
"I don't want him to know about this place." I shook my head. "We need to get him away from the area completely before we exit the catacombs. What about the spell you used earlier to hide us from the golem? Would that work in this case?"
"I'm afraid not. I have to at least have a visual on what I'm trying to hide, and unless we go surface side, I'm not going to get that view."
"Couldn't we just veil ourselves?"
"I don't know that spell."
The witch shook her head.
"I can only put a veil around areas and the creatures inside it, not individual living things."
"Are there any backdoor ways out of here?" I asked as I looked around. "Like a tunnel to another mausoleum."
"As much as I enjoy the back doorway..."
Naomi winked.
"No, that would be a major weakness in terms of security if we had to protect two entrances at the same time. There's only one way into this place and only one way out."
"Then we gotta figure out how to get that weirdo out of sight." I pondered aloud, and then I had a thought. "Hey, squirrel?"
"I have a name, you know."
The squirrel huffed, and then he proceeded to make a bunch of strange chittering noises. Sorry, what is your name?" The squirrel repeated the chittering noises again, and I tilted my head to the side, as I tried to figure out just what was going on right now.
"That's my name,"
he grumbled, before he repeated the chittering noises one more time. "Oh, I'm just gonna call you Chip for short, okay?"
"Sure,"
the squirrel muttered.
"Anything's better than squirrel. Now, what do you want me to do?"
"Do you happen to be armed?" I asked, and I couldn't help but snort at the absurdity of my question.
"Do you think the squirrel is packing heat?"
"Like, with an acorn or something, you know what I mean.
I've got acorns stuffed all around the place. What do I need one of those for?"
"Start throwing them at the man. That'll at least get his attention away from us."
"No way,"
Chip grumbled.
"Those are my food sources for the next spring. I'm not going to start throwing them away like they're nothing. You still haven't paid me for this favor, you know."
"Okay, fine. Is there anything else you might be able to do to distract him, though? We just need his eyes to be off the entrance for, like, a minute or two."
"Let me see. He's still just hovering around the ground with his ear against the dirt. That little white thing he rides is up here, with all the sticks and sacks he uses to clean up the ground."
"The white thing he rides?" I asked, as I looked at Naomi. "Does he have a golf cart?"
"I usually just saw him walking around. Though it would make sense that he'd have some sort of cart to get around the premises. This is quite a large cemetery."
"Hey, Chip, the white thing you're referring to, where is it right now?"
"I'm not sure why that matters, but it's over at the end of the path that leads up to where you guys are."
"Hold on," I said, as I thought up a plan and glanced over to Naomi.
We had to walk up a bit of an incline to get to the mausoleum, didn't we?
If you can even call it an incline.
The witch mused.
I've seen cornfields in Iowa with steeper grades.
But there is a grade. A long one that starts all the way down near the entrance, right?
What are you getting at?
It sounds like Creepy Greg parked his golf cart near the edge of the path. Which means if the parking brake gets turned or was left off, and it gets a little bit of a push...
Gravity will take over, and it'll start going back down the hill.
Naomi's eyes lit up as it dawned on her. Exactly. I nodded. It's not a steep enough incline to cause any major damage, but it would be more than enough of a distraction to keep his attention while we exited up the stairs. Do you think your magic is strong enough to go through the ceiling of this place?
It might be.
The witch nodded.
Though I'd be shooting completely blind.
No, you wouldn't. I smiled. You'll have the guidance of Chip.
The squirrel?
Naomi raised an eyebrow.
You're going to entrust our entire plan on the directions of a squirrel.
Hey, I shrugged. Animals have a sixth sense when it comes to directions, so I'd trust his word over my own any day of the week. Now, Chip, do you remember the place where Naomi and I walked down into the ground?
I do,
the squirrel confirmed.
It's right to my left.
Okay, good, I nodded. We're going to come over to that hole again, and then we're going to ask some questions to get ourselves a bit more oriented. Naomi and I slowly walked over to the rubble and then stared up at the closed door above.
Ask him where the golf cart is in relation to the entrance.
Chip, I asked telepathically. We're right under where we entered the catacombs. Can you tell us where things are in relation to the entrance? Like, the white thing, the creepy human, any pillars or trees, anything like that?
Well, the strange human is currently at the very center of the gray space with his ear on the ground. That thing he rides is by the old tree with the broken branch.
He says the golf cart is by the broken branch tree. I said to Naomi. Where is that?
To the north, about 30 feet. My sisters and I are the reason it's broken, so I know it well.
Which side of the tree is it on? I asked the squirrel.
The one opposite of the broken branch.
Northwest. That would have to work. So, 30 feet away, and the cart is on the northwest side of the tree. I guess that's about as accurate as we're going to get.
I'll do my best.
Naomi nodded, and then she summoned silver magic into her hands.
Just ask your squirrel buddy to make sure Creepy Greg is turned around when I cast my spell.
Two more things I want to ask, Chip, I said to the squirrel. First off, I need you to go over to the white cart and disengage the parking brake. There's going to be a little square on the larger pedal right underneath the steering wheel.
I know a couple of those words, Chip answered, but I get the general idea. Let me go over and check.
It needs to be in neutral for this to work, I whispered to Naomi. When I give the signal, be ready to blast your magic and push it backwards. Naomi nodded, and then we sat there and waited for the squirrel's next communication.
When you say pedal, what do you mean? I see the black circle you're talking about, and then there's these two squares underneath.
That's the brake. I nodded. The one on the left should have a smaller square on it, too. Does that sound right?
I'm looking at it, Chip announced.
Good. Go up close and push that little square down, and the whole big pedal should pop back toward you. The second that happens, get the hell off the cart, and try to pull the dude's attention away for, 10 seconds at the max.
I'll run over his feet. It always seems to scare humans.
Let us know the second you're clear, and then again when you run past the dude. There was silence for another second or two, and then my ears picked up a dull, mechanized click from the surface.
I got it!
Chip announced.
Now I'm going to scare the acorns off that human.
Get ready! I hissed to Naomi.
What the fuck?
I heard a man's voice gasp.
Get off me, you hermit!
I gave Naomi a nod, and the witch held her hands up in the general direction we'd been told to aim. The silver tendrils of her magic blasted forward, and then hit the underside of the pillar before they flattened out and squeezed underneath the cracks and crevices. And seconds later, Naomi let out a gasp.
Got it!
She announced, and then she thrust her hands forward. My superpowered hearing picked up the sounds of wheels pushing through the dirt, and then the man let out a disgruntled shout.
Now what the hell?
He demanded. And then his footfalls hammered against the ground overhead as he ran toward the runaway cart.
Whatever you're gonna do, Chip warned.
Do
it now. That human is much faster than he looks.
Go for it, Naomi, I said, and then she instantly bowed her head and began the enchantment. Seconds later, there was the sound of concrete scraping against concrete, and the structure above us started to open. Neither of us waited for the door to fully open. Naomi just grabbed the scrolls, and I grabbed her. Then I tossed the witch up toward the opening as hard as I could, and she let out a slight yelp of surprise as she disappeared over the edge of the hole. I grabbed the rest of the documents as the woman reappeared over the edge of the opening, and then she blasted a shot of silver down around my body. My body went weightless as she lifted me up into the air, and within a few seconds I was topside.
Naomi quickly turned around and began to whisper the counter incantation, which caused the pillar to slide back into place in the blink of an eye. I looked down the pathway and saw the groundskeeper as he finally caught up with the golf cart. He grabbed onto the wheel, flipped up onto the seat, and slammed on the brakes as he brought the vehicle to a halt.
"And that was fun," Chip snickered as he scampered up beside me. "I should tease humans more often."
"Thanks, Chip." I smiled at the little guy. "I'll bring you those bags of nuts the next time we come back here."
"Just make sure you come back. Otherwise, it's just the creepy human and the ones who come around to stand on the rocks and cry. It's not exactly a fun place to be, but it has a lot of space for food storage."
"I can't wait. Stay safe in the meantime, buddy." Naomi and I waved to the squirrel and then started down the pathway that led back to our car. We only got a few feet down the way when the groundskeeper pulled up on his cart, and the man stared us down intensely. He had a mid-length greasy white beard on his face, which matched perfectly with the wispy strands of white hair on his head. His dark green eyes were tiny and beady, and his entire face was sunken in like his flesh was stretched back across his skull. He definitely looked like the kind of person who would pleasure himself in the middle of a cemetery at night.
"Where did you two come from?"
Creepy Greg asked.
"Were you the ones walking around down under the ground?"
Naomi and I looked at each other with exaggerated expressions of puzzlement on our faces.
"We came out here to pay our respects to my great-grandfather."
I scoffed in my most Karen-esque tone.
"Look, we even have these genealogy books. Is that a problem?"
"Have you been drinking, sir?"
Naomi added.
"Do I need to call your supervisor and tell them you're going around accusing people of hiding under the ground like a bunch of zombies? Because I bet they wouldn't be too happy about that."
"There was something under the ground,"
the groundskeeper argued.
"I don't know a lot of stuff, but I trust my ears when they hear something."
"Definitely drunk. Come on, babe, let's get the fuck out of here. Something under the ground, sheesh."
I started to stomp away in faux anger, and Naomi followed right behind me.
"Hey, wait a minute!"
Creepy Greg called out.
"I know you two weren't here when I was just over there."
"Our car has been here for hours," I explained to the groundskeeper. "Are you so inebriated you missed it in the parking lot?"
I haven't been out there,"
the man stammered.
I've been looking for the sounds under the ground."
I turned to Naomi and made a crazy motion with my finger.
"Sir?"
Naomi's eyes narrowed at the groundskeeper.
"I'd suggest you go take a nap or something. You're starting to sound really crazy, and I doubt other mourners will be as forgiving as we are. Or you can keep it up, and I'm going to have a little talk with your boss."
"No!"
Creepy Greg gasped and held up his hands.
"I can't have another strike. I'll leave you alone, but I know you're lying."
"Oh, now you're calling us liars."
I scowled and took a step toward the man, but Naomi held me back.
"Let's go, dear. He's not worth the hassle."
We both turned and then hurried away as quickly as we could, and as we walked, I could hear the weird old man muttering to himself under his breath about how we must have been playing a prank on him and that he knew his ears weren't lying. Eventually, the two of us got back to our Hummer, where we promptly hopped into the vehicle and turned it on. The clock read 7:20, and I knew we needed to book it if we wanted to get to Hanson in time. Naomi put our Hummer into gear, and then we peeled out of the cemetery like a bat out of hell.
"Man,"
I said as we pulled onto the main road. "You were right. Creepy Greg is really, really creepy."
"I'm gonna take it a step further."
Naomi shuddered.
"Before today, I just thought he was an eccentric old dude. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we found out he dug up and fucked the dead bodies at night."
"Chip did say the old man has been touching himself when nobody else is around. That's basically just one step removed." We drove through the early morning for about 20 minutes before we rolled up to the main gates of the University of Cincinnati. And then Naomi quickly pulled our Hummer into one of the visitor parking spots and killed the engine, as I went around to the back to grab a backpack. Naomi and I stuffed our materials into a sack before I tossed it over my shoulder, and then we headed off toward the old building that housed Hanson's office. We moved at a brisk pace as I nervously glanced down at my phone, and I texted Janine that we were on the way, to which she just responded with a thumbs-up emoji. Finally, after a short hike, we found ourselves inside of the oldest building on campus. So Naomi and I took the stairs down to the basement level, and when we exited out of the stairwell, we were met with the smiling faces of Janine and Leah.
"There you guys are,"
Janine proclaimed.
"We thought you were going to be late."
"We almost were. The frickin' groundskeeper at the cemetery tried to grill us about what we were doing there, but we were able to pull the wool over his eyes and get out of there without any incident."
"Thanks to the help of a squirrel,"
Naomi added with a giggle.
"I'm glad to hear you are fully embracing your abilities,"
Janine said as she arched an eyebrow at me.
You keep it up and you'll finally be a real Disney princess.
Leah added with a playful wink. Very funny. I rolled my eyes. Did you guys find anything in the library?
We did, actually.
Janine smiled.
I admit I got a bit distracted when I started to read the books about interdimensional travel, and I kind of went down the rabbit hole for a few hours. But it all ended up working out for the best because I found something I think will be very useful in our plight.
Oh? I raised an eyebrow. What did you find? I'm all ears because, man, am I starting to get tired.
In Parker Bragg's Accessing the Interdimensional, one chapter talks about beings that can access multiple planes of existence at one time.
Janine continued.
That would be our Shadow Man, since the things he does to people in his own plane has an effect on his victims in their own.
I found something, too. There was this old newspaper article from the 1800s where a woman explains her encounter with the Shadow Man.
Interesting,
Naomi admitted.
But how is this helpful to us particularly?
Because she describes how she was able to keep him away,
Leah explained with a twinkle in her blue eyes.
She claimed that once she started burning a certain combination of incense every single night, he stopped bothering her. It might be a case of correlation and not causation, but I thought it was worth looking into, and, well, with a bit more digging, I think I found the actual combination she used.
Fuck, that's awesome. I smiled. You guys are freaking killing it today.
Miss Beckett!
A happy voice asked from down the hallway.
And your friends!
We all turned to see the wide, smiling face of Dr. Hansen as he waddled down the hallway, and the stocky man looked like a character straight out of an old noir film, with his oversized, square glasses and the carefully groomed goatee on his chin. He wore a pair of dark gray tweed pants that were held up by black suspenders, which themselves rested on a white dress shirt two sizes too large. The professor's red bow tie was cattywampus on his neck, and his round face seemed to glisten with sweat as he patted it with a handkerchief. His thinning black hair was also styled in a messy comb-over atop his head, though individual strands bounced loose as he walked.
Hi, Dr. Hansen,
Janine said to her mentor.
I know you have class in an hour, but my friends and I had a question to ask you. If you have the time, of course.
I always have time for my favorite student.
Hansen nodded, but then his face fell into a frown as he looked around.
No offense to any of you who might have had me as a teacher before.
None taken. I never had you.
I did,
Leah smirked.
But only for an intro class where, I'll admit, I wasn't the best student.
I'm not a student,
Naomi shrugged.
But I appreciate the fact that you think I'm young enough to be one.
Not a student,
Hansen frowned.
She's part of my personal study group,
Janine interjected, before anyone else could answer.
Naomi is one of my mom's friends. She's a Wiccan, so she knows a lot about the occult, and I figured she would be a good resource.
Right.
Naomi shot Janine a dirty look.
A friend of your mom.
Janine's chocolate brown eyes lit up as a smirk started on the left side of her mouth, and I realized she knew exactly what she was saying.
A Wiccan!
Dr. Hansen clapped his hands together and smiled.
Oh, how wonderful. I have a few minutes before I must rush off to class, but I will gladly answer anything I can. Come on inside.
Hansen stepped past us, slid his keys into the lock on his door, and then opened it up with a loud metallic creak. The musty smell of old documents and cobwebs hit my nostrils as we stepped into his office full of curiosities, with its taxidermied panther and massive non-human skeleton.
Wow.
Naomi whispered as she looked around.
Is this what heaven looks like?
I figured a Wiccan would appreciate my choice of decor.
The professor chuckled.
Perhaps when we have more time, I could show you the different spell books I've collected over the years. They are ones you cannot find anywhere else in the United States.
Really?
Naomi's dark brown eyes were now as large as saucers.
That would be wonderful.
Another time?
Janine reminded us all.
We need your expertise about the language of the Ancient Ones.
The language of the Ancient Ones?
Dr. Hansen tilted his head to the left as his mouth fell agape.
Whatever could you need that for? Werepanthers did not exist in the time of the Ancient Ones.
They didn't.
Janine shook her head.
But the Shadow Man did.
The Shadow Man.
Hansen's eyes narrowed as he stopped everything he was doing, and I could tell we now had his full attention.
What does the Shadow Man have to do with a werepanther?
You'll have to read about it in my thesis.
Janine clicked her tongue.
But the long and short of it is, I think there might be a correlation between increased Shadow Man activity and the presence of werepanthers in the area, almost as if one is chasing the other.
A fascinating hypothesis,
the professor nodded.
But I do not know of any texts about the Shadow Man written in that language.
That's why we were hoping you could translate these. I explained, as I pulled my backpack over my shoulder, unzipped it, and then removed the scrolls of the spectral plane. As I set them down on Hansen's desk, his eyes grew as wide as a full moon.
Ms. Beckett. Just when I think my protege has shown her full potential, you go and do something like this. Where did you find these?
My little secret.
Janine shrugged.
Can you look for any information on the Shadow Man? Just superficially, of course.
I'll do my best.
Hansen nodded. The professor sat down behind his desk and started to shuffle through the scrolls. He mouthed to himself silently as his eyes scanned the ancient texts, and he appeared to be laser-focused on what was in front of him. Naomi and Leah both wandered around the room as he read, and each of the women looked at the strange pieces he had on display. Meanwhile, Janine and I stood there and anxiously waited for him to find something pertinent to our situation. The minutes kept ticking on, and eventually, the professor looked down at his watch and let out a gasp.
You all right?
Janine,
Dr. Hansen said as he looked up at us.
Could you please send out an email to my class and tell them we are canceling today? I'm on a roll with this translation, and I don't want to stop now.
Gladly.
The redhead nodded, and then she walked over to his desktop.
Is the password still the same as it was when I was a teaching assistant?
It is, he confirmed. But with a 23 at the end instead of whatever it was when you worked for me. I like to keep my passwords basic.
Janine typed away at the keyboard, hit enter, and then smiled.
Got it. I'll let them know.
Dr. Hansen continued to study the scrolls for 2 full hours. He wrote down notes as he transcribed the ancient language, and at around 9:40, the stocky man slammed his hand on the table.
Eureka!
He declared, as he held his head up high.
I found something!
What is it?
Janine asked, as we all huddled around the desk.
What does it say, Professor?
This scroll has an entire section dedicated to the Shadow Man, in particular where he comes from and how he can be defeated.
My friends and I exchanged excited looks when we heard the professor's words. If what he was saying was true, then we may have just found a way to take out the Shadow Man once and for all. Tell us everything, I said.
Oh, you seem very eager to learn about the Shadow Man, Carla.
Dr. Hansen teased.
Almost as if you have a particular interest in this case.
I do, I explained, and then I put my arm around Janine. I'm sure it's no secret on campus that we're dating now, and I want to make sure this genius here has everything she needs to write a killer thesis paper, even though I have no idea what the heck she's talking about half the time.
Indeed, Hansen said with a knowing smile. Where do you wish for me to start?
Read the entire section if you can.
How about the Cliff Notes version? A direct translation is far too difficult.
That's fine.
The redhead nodded.
The long and short of it is the Shadow Man is a creature from the Abyss, a plane of existence that lies somewhere in the 12th dimension.
12th dimension?
Leah scoffed.
String theory states there are only 10.
Bosonic string theory says there are 26.
Hansen corrected with a coy smile.
You're thinking of the super string theory. Yeah, but all these theories fail to go beyond the comprehension of the human brain. Fanciers of the paranormal like myself know there are dozens of dimensions, and this creature comes from the 12th.
That's the one where physicality doesn't exist, right?
Janine questioned.
The one where everything is just an amorphous blob?
That is correct.
He nodded.
Which would explain why the Shadow Man must shapeshift into different forms when he comes into our world. The human mind simply cannot comprehend what he really looks like.
Isn't that literally the concept behind the monster in It?
Stephen King was no doubt influenced by studies about these dimensions when he was writing his book.
Or maybe he's a paranormal creature himself. That would explain a lot of the fucked up shit he comes up with.
So, the Shadow Man's a creature from another dimension.
Janine cut in to get us back on track.
You said there were instructions to defeat it, though?
And the instructions are here.
Hansen confirmed.
But it is something I cannot see happening. Not in our lifetimes, at least.
Why not?
The paranormal archaeology student asked.
Because, Janine.
Dr. Hansen smiled and narrowed his eyes.
The Shadow Man cannot be killed in a form of this world. In order to kill the creature, he must be in his original form, as if it were still living in the 12th dimension.
But you just said the human brain can't comprehend his true form.
Naomi frowned.
Precisely.
Hansen continued.
Hence why he can never be defeated by a human. One of the ancient ones might be able to kill him, though.
What about a werepanther? I asked. Do you think Janine's theory holds any weight and the two creatures are following each other around because they view each other as threats?
Perhaps the theory is correct.
The professor shrugged.
More evidence would be needed before I can accurately confirm it, though. That said, there is no doubt in my mind. A werepanther could kill the Shadow Man, though I'm unsure of the method, if that helps you any.
Dr. Hansen said the last bit of his sentence with a coy smile, and I wondered if he was just playing dumb about our situation the entire time. He'd made plenty of cheeky comments since we'd met that implied he knew my secret, but Hansen always left just enough ambiguity that I couldn't be sure.
Interesting,
Janine said, as she pushed her glasses up the bridge of her nose.
Does it say how you'd even get him back into his true form?
I'm afraid not. That's where the passage ends. I'm assuming it was common knowledge to the Ancient Ones themselves, so it didn't need to be written down.
Damn. We were so close to having an airtight set of instructions on how to kill that shadowy fuck, but we came up just short.
Still, now we at least had a place to start at.
That helps a lot, Dr. Hansen.
Janine smiled at her mentor.
Thank you so much.
If you don't mind, may I keep these documents in my office for the time being?
The stout professor asked.
There is still much more to translate.
Janine looked over at Naomi and me, but we both just gave her a nod.
Sure thing,
the redhead said to Hansen.
Keep them as long as you like. Just, make sure you give them back. The place we got them from would be really annoyed if they were to get lost or anything.
Oh, come now, Miss Beckett,
Hansen said with a smile.
You know better than anyone I would never, ever dream of becoming a thief. Especially when it comes to academic documents like these.
All right. We'll leave you to it, then. Thanks for all your help, Professor.
Thank you, friends.
The professor nodded.
This translation could be revolutionary to my field.
The professor buried his face back into the scrolls, so the four of us turned and exited the room. Well, I said the second we were out of earshot. Now we at least have a place to start on.
I fear we're running out of time, though.
Leah frowned, and then she pointed at my face.
You look like you're turning into a raccoon, Carter. When was the last time you slept?
When the Shadow Man attacked me, I explained as we walked up the stairs and out the door of the building. I've been awake ever since.
You can't keep that up forever.
I'm gonna try, I said through a yawn. At least until we have a solid plan figured out.
Well, I'm not going to rest until I figure out what's going on. I'm headed back to the library to see if I can figure out anything about this whole true form thing. I'll go back with you two,
Leah said as she threaded her arm through mine.
I've had enough studying to last a lifetime.
Don't stay too long, I told Janine. We'll need you at Cincy's Jewel tonight, after all.
Oh!
The redhead slapped her forehead.
The grand reopening is tonight. I completely forgot. I'll make sure I'm back before nightfall.
We'll see you then. I nodded to the paranormal archaeology student. We bade farewell to Janine, and then Naomi, Leah, and I headed in the opposite direction, back toward where I'd parked the Hummer. As I walked, the morning sun hit me square in the eyes, and I was forced to squint. That was a bad idea. My eyes snapped shut the second they were narrowed. And then I felt my body relax, but I forced myself back awake with a full-body jolt as I looked around in a panic. I was already starting to feel the fatigue taking over my body, and I didn't know just how much longer I had until I wouldn't be able to fight it any longer.